Our Easter lesson is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise and glory be unto him. Let's look to him in prayer. Risen Christ, even as you appeared to your disciples on that first Easter Sunday and received the worship which they gave, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us by your Spirit as we marvel and celebrate the good news of your triumph over the grave. This we pray to the glory of God our Father and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, it's been said that Easter is like a giant megaphone through which God and his church around the world proclaim the amazing, earth-shaking news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. As Hesychius of Jerusalem said in the 5th century, that great church father, he said, "The festival we celebrate today is one of victory. The victory of the Son of God, King of the whole universe. On this day, the devil is defeated by the crucified one, and we are filled with joy by the risen one." As part of our Easter celebration today, I want us to consider three joyous truths that the resurrection of the crucified one teaches us. Three things that we all want to believe are true, we hope are true, but sometimes in this fallen world of death, sin, and evil, we may be tempted to doubt are true. But Easter is God's glorious megaphone through which he assures us with gladsome voice that these wonderful truths are in fact true. The first amazing truth that comes through the Easter megaphone is that life is greater than death. Life is greater than death. When God made all things, he made them to live. Death was not part of his original design for his creation. Death is a cruel invader that entered creation through sin as the inescapable enemy of us all. As innovative as the human race has been, with all problem-solving inventions that we have come up with, we have not been able to solve our biggest problem, the problem of death. If you've ever watched the TV show Shark Tank, you've seen all kinds of inventions, all kinds of ideas to make life more convenient, life more manageable, life simpler. All kind of problem-solving inventions, but you've never seen an invention that solves the problem of death and you never will. But the Creator, the God who made us, He is the great problem solver. And He is full of mercy for those who bear His image. So desiring to restore us to life, He sent His beloved Son into this world of death. His Son who said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. After his resurrection, in Revelation 1:18, he declared, I am the living one. I died. I went through it. I died. But behold, I am alive forevermore, never to die again. He lives now at the Father's right hand, an indestructible life, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it. As St. Paul put it in Romans 6 and verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Death does not have dominion over him. He has dominion. He has lordship over death. He faced it, went through it for us, and conquered it on our behalf. And thus, as James S. Stewart put it, when death took on Jesus of Nazareth, it took on too much. He defeated it from the inside out. Thus, at the heart of our Easter celebration is the beating heart of Jesus, the living, reigning, death-defeating Savior of the world, who gives all who believe in Him His victory over death. Do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe this? If you will believe on Him, as we heard earlier, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have eternal life with Him and all His saints in glory. It will be like a perpetual Easter day in the new heavens and new earth. No more death, only life and glory and love. Charity toward others. The smile of God's face. To a needy world, we bear witness as the Church of Jesus Christ, not to a set of moralistic teachings left to us by our religion's founder, who tragically passed away, but whom we pitifully still honor and esteem. No, no, no. Our witness to the world is about Jesus, the crucified living one who conquered the grave, and who freely gives eternal life, freely gives eternal life to all who trust in Him. As C.H. Spurgeon put it, death cannot kill a believer. It can only usher him into a freer form of life. Easter is the megaphone through which God declares to us, and we declare to a dying world, that life, in God's Son, the life of Him who is the resurrection and the life, is greater than death. The second life-giving and life-changing truth that we hear through the megaphone of Easter is that grace is greater than sin. Grace is greater than sin. If we are tempted to think that sin is a small and insignificant thing, then we need only remember what Jesus went through on Good Friday in order to atone for our sin. As the old hymn goes, ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here at the cross may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate, mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God, sin is a great, an inestimably great and awful thing. It is treason against our loving and just Creator. It is what weighs the unrepentant down to hell forever. It ensnares, devours, and kills the human soul. We should never think of sin as anything other than it is a heinous and damnable thing. But Easter is God's megaphone through which He declares the good news that His grace is greater than our sin. When you are tempted to doubt that, remember this. On Good Friday afternoon, as He was dying on the cross, the Son of God summoned the strength to declare, "It is finished." Meaning, I have done all that the Father gave me to do. I have paid the debt for sin in full. I have atoned for all the sins of all the people who will believe in me and be saved. It is finished, He declared. On Easter Sunday, when He raised His dear Son from the dead, God the Father said, "Amen." Amen. What my Son said on Good Friday when He said, "It is finished," that is true. It is finished. Full atonement has been made. There's nothing left for a sinner to do but to look to Jesus Christ, believe in Him, and be saved. In the words of St. Paul, in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes as Christians, we make the mistake of living as if we are still condemned. We live as if we are wearing the shackles of a prisoner under the sentence of death. We can be so focused on ourselves and our inadequacies and our shortcomings and our sins that we stop looking at and rejoicing in God's amazing grace. Or perhaps if we don't live like we're condemned, we live like we're on probation. We live as if God has placed a monitor around our ankle just waiting for us to slip up so He can throw us back into jail. Dear Christian, please do not go out of this place on Easter Sunday wearing the chains of condemnation around your wrists or the monitor of probation around your ankle. Go forth rejoicing that you are wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. You are not under condemnation. You are not on probation. You are God's adopted child. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's His love for you. Thus His Son greets you. He greets you on this happy morning, and He says to you, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." So listen to His voice. Rest in His grace. Bask in His love. Enjoy His fellowship this day. In the words of Zephaniah 3:17, "Be still and allow Him to rejoice over you with gladness, to quiet you with His love, and exult over you with loud singing." Easter is God's megaphone to declare that life is greater than death. Grace is greater than sin. And third, that good is greater than evil. The resurrection of Jesus shows us once and for all time that good is greater than evil. There are other ways we could describe this. Light is greater than darkness. God is greater than Satan. Love is greater than hate. But let us stick with good is greater than evil for just a moment. On Good Friday, from a purely human perspective, it looked like evil was greater than good. It looked like the one truly, thoroughly, unquestionably good person to ever walk the earth had been defeated by the forces of evil. It looked like evil had won. I remember a gentleman sharing with me years ago when the movie The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe came out in theaters, and he had taken his little granddaughter, very young granddaughter, to see it. And when it got to the part that the White Witch and her minions torture Aslan, and Aslan dies at the hands of the White Witch, his granddaughter, who had been silent the whole film, said, "That's not fair." It appeared on Good Friday that evil had won. That is what it can look like in our world today from a purely human perspective. It looks like maybe evil has won. But Easter is God's megaphone to tell us that good is greater than evil. Aslan is alive, and he's on the move. He is doing his work. We just need eyes to see it and hearts to pray for more of it. He is alive. He's on the move. It is only from the vantage point of Easter Sunday that we can call Friday good. And as Christians, we have an obligation to live every day with that Easter perspective. We mustn't say with our lips, "He is risen," and then go about living our lives as if he's still in the tomb. We must live with a spring in our step, knowing that good is greater than evil, so that we can live out the words of Romans 12:21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." We do that in the power of the risen Christ. As Christians, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the ones uniquely able to overcome evil with good because we are united to him who overcame evil with good through his life. Think of the goodness of his life and his death, and especially his resurrection. Death, sin, and evil do not have the last word. Life, grace, and goodness have the last word through our Lord's victorious resurrection. Let us live as an Easter people. Let us give hope to a needy, dying world. Let us go and tell that Christ is risen indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.